We've been talking about staying fit, right? Staying spiritually fit. And you probably figured somewhere when we're talking about spiritual fitness that there would be something about prayer. Prayer is something that we talk about a lot. Maybe we think we've heard enough sermons on prayer and that we don't need to hear anymore. I don't know. But I do know a couple things. I know that prayer is vital. And I know that we'll never exhaust its possibilities, no matter how long we serve the Lord. So we want to speak about that again today. We do have a responsive reading on the yellow sheet. And I'm going to dare to call this yellow. Daffodil yellow. How about that? Let's stand in honor of God's Word. This is a composite of passages from the New Testament on prayer, and I'll be reading the light print, ask you to read the dark print, and I'll join you on that final verse. May the Lord bless to our ears and to our hearts the reading of His Word. Shall we pray? Father, we thank You today for Your Word, and we pray here in these next few minutes as we consider Your Word together, we pray that it will be a great encouragement to us. We pray, Lord, that we will get some directives from You and how we might be more effective in prayer and just how we might move ahead in that area where You want all of us to be active and proficient. So, Lord, today we thank You for the privilege of prayer. We thank You for the power of prayer, the potential of prayer, and all the things that are accomplished through prayer. Guide us always more into prayer, prayer of the right kind, prayer that pleases You, prayer that will bring results from You. Now guide us as we look at Your Word together, we pray, in Jesus' name. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you're among those who like to fill in the blanks on the sermon notes, now would be a good time to just go ahead and have those handy. How is your prayer life right now? Not last week, not last month, not last year. How is your prayer life right now? I've been a Christian long enough to know that our prayer life kind of ebbs and flows a lot of times. It shouldn't, but it does. And so just because we've been, you know, real constant in prayer for a while doesn't mean that due to certain factors we haven't been distracted somewhat or somewhat be letting down in our prayer life. This is not a time to be doing that. This is a time to be fortifying our prayer life. But I would just say, where is it right now? On a scale of 0 to 10, with like 0 to 3 being not very good at all, almost non-existent, to 9 or 10, or 10 being my prayer life is all it should be, where would your prayer life fall right now? Or would it be maybe a 5, a 6, or a 7? And you say, well, I think it's pretty good, but I know that it could improve. Well, unless you say with conviction that you know it can improve at all, then there's probably something in today's message that we can all glean from the Word of God. I was thinking this week about how with all the technology that we have today, and I'm in the hospitals a lot, and they've got all this high-powered technology now. They can do MRIs, they can do CAT scans, PET scans, they can do 3D magnetic imaging, they can take a picture of your insides, and then they can turn them at any angle so that they can see them. They can do ultrasounds. They can do all kinds of things with blood tests and everything today. They've got all this high-powered technology, and almost everybody that goes in there, you know, they get the treatment anymore. And these things cost thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars. And yet I have noticed that with all the technology that they have today and all these expensive machines, that nurses and doctors still make frequent use of three simple little things: a blood pressure cuff, a thermometer, and a stethoscope. And those things have been around since when? And I'll be in there, and here will come some little nurse, and she'll have the stuff, and she'll say, I'm here to take your vitals. See, they're vital. So we've got all this technology and all this imaging and all this, but to have a clue of how things are going for you right now, we're just going to check your heart a little bit and see how it sounds. Would you lean forward a little bit? You know, whatever, so I can hear. We're going to take your temperature, and we're going to take your blood pressure, and those are going to give us some indication if there's any sign of trouble, if there's anything. It won't tell us necessarily everything that's going on, but it'll tell us that something is going on, and that's why they call them vitals. Well, prayer, Bible reading, and fellowship with God's people. Those are the vitals of the Christian life. Amen. And so we may have all this high learning today and all the theology and knowledge of Greek and a whole bunch of things like that, but the actual Christian life still comes down to the vitals. I hope your heart's beating okay this morning. And when it stops beating okay, you know where you wind up, where Richard Spratley was earlier this week with AFib. Or you start running a temperature, or whatever. It doesn't tell you the whole story, but it tells you something exactly where it ought to be. So, our prayer life, you know, it ebbs and it flows. But the number one, you know, I called today's message to stay fit and challenging, staying fit in challenging times, Master Prayer. Now, that's kind of tongue-in-cheek. I doubt if any of us will ever 100% master prayer in all of its aspects like Jesus himself did. But I do believe this. I believe that we can master the basics of prayer. And I believe that if we master the basics of prayer, that will be a big, big step in the right direction. And unfortunately, I'm afraid that many of us as Christians, however long we've served the Lord, we still haven't even mastered the basics of prayer. And that is at the root of much of our inconsistency in our Christian lives, and, you know, not seeing the things happening that ought to be happening, and all of that. Billy Graham loves to tell that story of a famous World Series many years ago when they were like in one of the late innings of one of the last games of the World Series, bases loaded, guy hits a home run, runs all the way around, gets to home, and the umpire called him out. And the crowd couldn't believe it. But the umpire later explained, the reason I called him out was he never touched first base. And I'm afraid that's where a lot of us as Christians are in regard to some things and as regards prayer. And so we're not touching first base. And we're doing a whole lot of running and a whole lot of doing, and it looks mighty fine, but we forgot to touch first base. I remember that Jesus used to go out early in the morning before anybody else was up so he could spend some time with his Heavenly Father. I remember that at the end of a long, 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 hard day, he would say to the disciples, you all go on. I'm going to go up here on this mountain and spend some time with my Father. See, and those are the things that Jesus, being God's Son, being sinless, felt the need to do in order to be able to, he had to maintain fellowship. And that is the first point of this message today. These are just some basic things concerning prayer. I've got the scripture reference next to it, so that if later on you just want to look at these one at a time. But these are just some basic things. These are some of the reasons we pray is what I want to take you through this morning. Or the purposes for which we pray. Okay? So, number one, pray for fellowship. Pray for fellowship. Here's what John opens his first epistle with. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our own eyes, which we have looked at with our and our hands have touched, this we proclaim concerning the word of life. The life appeared, and we have seen it and testify to it, and we proclaim to you the eternal life, which was with the Father and has appeared to us. Now listen to verse 3. We proclaim to you what we have seen and heard, so that you also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. We write this to make our joy complete. And I checked the Greek again, because I remember the King James said, our fellowship is indeed with the Father and with the Son. And yes, even the text that the NIV Bible is translated from has the equivalent word. So our fellowship is truly or indeed with the Father and His Son. Are you living in fellowship with Him? Prayer is the main means by which we have fellowship with Him. That is our time together. We were talking in the Sunday school this morning a little bit about that song. And so many, how many know that song, In the Garden, In the Garden? Almost everybody knows that song, right? And He walks with me, and He talks with me, and He tells me I am His own, and the joy we share as we what? People don't tarry anymore. They hurry, but they don't tarry. As we tarry there, none other has ever known. That's fellowship. That writer, some people don't agree with all the theology in that song. I'm not going to pick it apart theologically. But I'll tell you this, whoever wrote it, there was something they were trying to communicate, and I'm going to go with that. And that is, those times I have with the Lord, they are so special that even when they're over, I don't want to leave. It's almost like that date with your sweetie, you know? And we're just coming off of Valentine's Day, right? And it's late, but you still don't want to leave. But it's about fellowship. Jesus died on the cross so that we could be restored to fellowship, not just so we wouldn't go to hell. The Heavenly Father used to drop by at least once a day and have some time with Adam in the garden before the fall. We were made for fellowship. Adam had fellowship with his Heavenly Father before he even had a wife or another human being to relate to. So maybe, I don't know if you've ever thought of prayer that way, but the number one reason, I think, for prayer is fellowship. That's the number one reason. That's the bottom line reason of prayer. It's not, yes, there's some other things we're going to talk about, but the bottom line reason for prayer is fellowship. And they say, which is first, the chicken or the egg? I'm not sure. Is it that after you get regular in your prayer habits, you begin to enjoy the fellowship? Or is it that one day you finally catch on to the fellowship thing and that makes you then regular in prayer? I don't know which way it is, but I know they go together. And I do believe in my heart that until you understand individually as a believer, any of us, the fellowship aspect of prayer, until that becomes the real motivation, we're going to have a lot of trouble being consistent and regular in our prayer habits. But once we get hooked on that, do you have to remind the young man that he has a date tonight? I hope not. And the fellowship part, that is the best part. And that's the most important part. And that should be the primary part. That's why when we approach Him, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. And, you know, we're having dialogue with the Father. This is fellowship. Okay, Here's just a few things that make up, some of the primary things that make up our fellowship when we're in prayer. A, praise. Lord, I love you. Lord, you're great. Lord, you're mighty. Lord, you're wondrous. Lord, you're holy. Lord, you're righteous. Come on, guys. Oh, you have such pretty eyes. Oh, you are just so beautiful in every way. That's praise. And then there's thanksgiving. Oh, Lord, thank you. Huh? What have you got to be thankful for? Still got a roof over your head? Still got food on the table? Still got a job? And a whole lot of things. And we talk about it, taking stuff for granted. We need to voice it. So praise, thanksgiving. Oh, and this is a big part of fellowship. Confession of sin. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. This was written to Christians. If we claim we have not sinned, we make him out to be a liar, and the world has no place in our lives. This doesn't mean that our prayer time with the Lord turns into beating ourselves up sessions. That's not what it means. But it does mean that when we are wrong and we know we're wrong, we confess it and we claim the blood of Jesus and we receive the cleansing, that sin is fully taken care of, and we go on in fellowship with the Lord. Amen? The way to maintain fellowship with the Lord isn't to never mess up, because if you're dependent on that, you're sunk already, because we all mess up. No, maintaining fellowship with the Lord is keeping short accounts. Okay, moving on. Number two, we pray for direction. One of the biggest reasons that we mess up in life, and we make unfortunate choices, and we look back and, oh, I wish I had just hadn't done that, and I wish I had seen then what I know now, and all of that, is that we don't take a little time and consult with the Lord about it. I mean, we take more time picking out a suit or a dress sometimes than we do making some of the really big and important decision in our lives, and we never even bother to pray about it. We just think the Lord will rubber stamp it. And oh yeah, he'll still, you know, he'll bless us as much as he can in our mess that we've made for ourselves. But that doesn't mean he wouldn't have given us some direction if we had asked for it. Can I hear an amen?
Amen!
He's ready to give us direction. He promises direction. Teach me your way, O Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Psalm 27:11. Direct me in the path of your commands, for there I find delight. Psalm 119:35. And we all know this one. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. And so prayer is a big part. Right now, Brian and Brooke are waiting on the Lord for a big decision in their lives as to whether to go to Sanford, Florida and work at the request of New Tribes Mission or go to the Philippines as they originally thought. They're going to pray until they get an answer. They're going to pray until they get the direction. And I'm going to stand here today and predict that they will get the direction. Do you know why? Because they're asking for it and they're looking for it. And the Lord's already given some direction to Sam and Carrie, and that would move a lot quicker, and it was something they hadn't even thought of. It looks like now they'll be here with us for a year beginning this July. And that was not something they had planned on, but it was advice they were given. And after praying about it and thinking about it, they felt that it was of the Lord. You see, the Lord does direct. Amen?
Amen.
And that's a big part of prayer. All right, let's move on. Number three, for empowerment. Of course, we know Jesus said, separated from me, you can do nothing. He has empowerment. We can't do the things that the Lord needs for us to do in our own power. But on the other hand, there isn't anything the Lord requires of us that we can't do through His power. What do we need empowerment for? All kinds of things. We need it to confront temptation, for one thing. Jesus said to the disciples, "Watch and pray so you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak." So watch and pray so you won't fall into temptation. Head it off. Be proactive when it comes to temptation. B, to witness. We know what verse that is. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. C, to obey. Philippians 4:13, we know this verse. I can do everything through Him who gives me strength. And where it says gives me strength is actually the Greek word empowers me. The one who empowers me. So in prayer and in waiting on God, we find the empowerment that we need, whether it's to witness, confront temptation, or just do God's will. And sometimes that last one is the hardest of all. But He's got the power to empower us to do it. Number four, for protection. What do we need protection from? Oh, we need protection from all kinds of things. Even though we live in a modern, technological, educated age, there's dangers all around us every day, right? All kinds of dangers, known and unknown. A, from harm. We need to be kept from harm, both physical and spiritual. We need to be kept from, B, temptation, which we've already alluded to. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. We need to be kept from spiritual attack. I believe that Christians come under spiritual attack. I believe that people that are doing the will of God and being used of God come under spiritual attack. Sometimes it's in the form of like the enemy's trying to put oppression on you. He's trying to put depression on you. And you don't even understand where it's coming from. You don't have a good explanation for it. You may just be under spiritual attack. And if you discern these things and know these things, those can be, through the whole armor of God of Ephesians 6, those things can be cast off. And we don't have to, but do Christians come under spiritual attack? Absolutely. And sometimes the enemy just, you know, comes in waves and goes all out. So prayer is we need to be praying for protection and saying, "Lord, protect me from physical harm. Protect me." I was listening to a lady this week talking about claiming Psalm 91 every day. Claiming it every day. It's God's Word. And claiming it, laying claim to it when we get up in the morning, for us, for our households, for our children, because God will perform His Word, and He will keep us from danger and from harm. There are many, many testimonies of how God has kept His people from harm. And so a lot of those things are out there, and we don't even know what they are. So we don't live, again, a life of paranoia, but we live a life of awareness, and we live a life of trust in the Lord, and prayer is a big part of that. Lord, protect me. Protect my family. Do you pray for your family? You should be praying for them every day. Protect my family, Lord. Protect my children from these things, from the evils in the world. And then we pray for provision. All provision ultimately comes from the Lord. And the most important, A and B, is spiritual and physical. And you'll notice I put spiritual first. Because Jesus said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness," and what? All these other things. The physical realm will be added unto you. Jesus said, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." And so we talk about people going hungry. It's terrible to see people going hungry. But it's terrible to see people undernourished and malnourished spiritually just for lack of, I don't know, spiritual appetite. So, Lord, give me a spiritual appetite and provide me spiritual food so that I may be strong and serve you as I should. And yes, he provides physical things as well, because he knows what we need. For the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. And Philippians 4:19 says, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." Now we get to another segment here. And that is number 6, pray for others. Now we get into intercession. After we've moved through some of these other things, who do we pray for first? I think we first pray for fellow believers. We pray for our fellow believers. We pray for their spiritual needs. We pray for their physical needs. We pray for our fellow believers. And we are told over and over in God's Word to pray for one another. And then we pray for unbelievers. We pray for the people in our lives that don't know the Lord, whether they're family, whether they're work associates or friends. We pray for them. And I have verses for that, but we pray for them. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Paul wrote to Timothy, "This is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth." So we pray for unbelievers. What else? We pray for spiritual leaders and for people in ministry. Pastors today carry a tremendous burden. Everybody that's in any kind of ministry do. And leaders in our midst, we don't know what they may be facing, and so we pray for them, and they need our prayers. It's one of the best things we can do for them. We pray for political and military leaders, and that's in 1 Timothy 2, 1-4. Where he says, "I urge then first of all that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good," reading that verse again, "and pleases God our Savior, who wants all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth." And pray for the salvation of the nations. In this, we know that is God's will, that the gospel reach every people group. We see in heaven represented people from every tribe, language, culture, and nation. And it is still God's will for the nations to come to the saving knowledge of the truth. And that's what that's all about. And so we pray for the salvation of the nations, because the salvation of the nations will bring a knowledge of God, and it will bring an end to many of the problems that they're experiencing economically, politically, militarily, and in many other ways. And then last but not least on this list, pray for the return of our Lord. You say, "Oh, that sounds so negative." Is it? There are so many songs say, "Oh, that will be the, you know, the most glorious day." You know, that's what we're looking forward to. But in the closing phrases there of Revelation, the prayer is there. "Even so, he who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.' Amen. Come, Lord Jesus." Peter wrote this, "Since everything will be destroyed in this way, what kind of people ought you to be? You ought to live holy and godly lives." Here, listen to this. "As you look forward to the day of God and speed its coming." And so, yes, we need to be praying for the coming of the Lord. Only he knows the day, the hour, and the time. But I know that in the heartbeat of every believer, we look forward to that day, because that will be the end of sin. That will be the end of sickness. That will be the end of parting. That will be the end of all of those things that are so familiar to us now. And it will mean perfect peace, perfect bliss, perfect everything as we've never known and as God intended it to be from the beginning. It will mean the total removal of the curse. And it will mean men and women and boys and girls and young people living in unbroken fellowship with God the Heavenly Father and in all the fullness and joy and provision and all of that unhindered that He's planned for all of us. And in the meantime, what have we got? We've got prayer. Let's pray. Father, we thank You today for this privilege, and that You don't say we have to have been a Christian for a certain amount of time before we can pray to You, that we don't have to have some title or office in the church before we can pray to You. We just come in the name of Jesus. We come in the name of the One who gave Himself on the cross and shed His blood for us and bought us with His own blood. We just come in His name, and we've got guaranteed entrance. And Lord, You love us more than we even have any notion of. And many times I'm sure you wonder why we don't take more time to spend in Your presence and just voice to You. Yes, if we're angry, if we're our fears, our concerns, any of it, You know it already. But Lord, to come and to experience Your presence and to experience the deliverance that comes from that, to experience the cleansing that comes from that, to experience the empowerment that comes from that, to experience the direction and the clarity of mind and the peace of heart that comes from that. Oh, how it says in that one song, oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. So, Lord, as we live in challenging times, You have given us this great privilege. And I pray, Lord, as individual believers today, without knowing where each and every one of our folks are here in the church, Lord, this morning, but that You'll just guide each of us into a better, fuller, more consistent, and more effective life of prayer. And that we will begin to experience fellowship with You through prayer on a level that surpasses anything that we have experienced up to this time, regardless of how long we've served You, Lord. Let this be a year where we move ahead in our prayer lives. And if we can't master all of prayer, help us at least this year to master the basics. Lead us in that direction, I pray. And we ask these things humbly. In Jesus' name, amen. So prayer is a great part of the Christian life. But first of all, do you know Jesus as your Savior? That's the first order of business. And if the answer to that one is no, would you come forward this morning? And we will pray with you to receive Jesus into your life. Feel free to come and share anything that's on your heart during this closing song.